two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, are you ready to add a sprinkle of joy to your day? Then you need to check out Add to Cart. Hi, I'm Sujan Pak.
And I'm Kulap Vilaysack. We're your hosts, and on this show, we talk about the things we buy, the things we buy into, and what it says about who we are.
That's right. Each week, we're going to have some honest and maybe, you know, a little TMI conversations about all the fabulous, weird, wonderful things we're adding to or ditching from our carts. You know, we talk about beauty products, latest health trends, philosophies we're passionate about. Nothing is off limits on this podcast.
We're diving deep into everything we and our guests buy into and exploring what it reveals about who we truly are. We're going to decide what's worth the investment, be it money or emotions.
Add to Cart from Lemonada Media has new episodes out on Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Being Studios.
Audio reality from Lemonada.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Being Trans Reunion Special. I'm Sela Leota, the co-executive producer of the show, and today I'm so excited to sit down with my wonderful cast members, Sai, Mariana, Chloe, and Jeff, to look back on the series and dive a little bit deeper into all the things we covered on the show and explore some of the things we didn't discuss enough. So I'm really excited to have everyone here. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So is everyone nervous, excited?
A little nervous, mostly excited.
Mariana, are you nervous?
An opportunity to dress up and to wear something nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you all look wonderful, so I'm so excited to dive into this. Let's get into it. The mission statement behind Lemonada Media's Being Studios is to create radical empathy by allowing listeners to step into the shoes of people whose lives they may not understand. This season focuses on the everyday lives of trans people living in Los Angeles. Our cast members get into some pretty vulnerable situations and things get really heavy, but we wanted to make sure that there was a lot of levity in the show as well. And one person that we could always count on for a laugh when we need it is our resident stand-up comic, Jeffrey J. Hi.
Hi, that's me.
That's you. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous.
Yeah?
I've learned I sing a lot. Listening to the podcast, I didn't realize that I sung my life, but I do apparently.
What else did you learn about yourself listening back to
it? So many things, buddy.
Like?
Am I pushy, you guys? Am I pushy? I'm so curious.
The silence is definitely.
Yeah, I see other people smiling and I'm like, you know, I don't think you're pushy, to be honest. I do think you ask very insightful questions.
When the podcast played, I feel like maybe I, you know, like when I had asked a question to Robert, I felt like, oh man, that felt... I would never ever ask that question in any other circumstance, but because we were kind of exploring, I did, and then I still felt like, oh man, did I overstep?
How I felt about that moment, like, yeah, that was the whole point of what we were recording. Like, I felt every day, and this is true of that day, and it's true of, like, just about everything else that we did, with the exception of the time I threw a football, which was terrifying, was like, it was a safe space for us to have those conversations.
And it was sort of almost, you know, both of you said leading into that dinner that neither of you really had a lot of trans couple friends. And so it really felt sort of like that was on the table for both of you. You know, it was, you were kind of just curious, right? And Jeff, we covered a lot on the show with regards to what you're going through in life. We talked about your career shifts. We talked about wanting top surgery, and we leave off on you sort of in this relationship hurdle that you're trying to climb with Emma, and you're very open and honest, and so is she, about the lack of intimacy. Something that you confessed to me towards the end of taping was that doing this show was really hard on your relationship with Emma.
The podcast was hard. We don't see each other very much. And so when we finally did get to see each other, there was a podcast right there. So it was really tough. But in the end, we ended up talking about things that I don't know if we would have otherwise, or at least not now, and figuring things out about us and our relationship. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I feel like a stronger, better person and more in love than ever.
Well, thank you for being very open and vulnerable and willing to go there. And thank you to Emma as well, because that was also, I'm sure, a challenge for her and a sign of her love for you.
Yeah.
We have a question for Jeff from our sponsors at Wellbeing Trust. What surprised you the most about the production of this show?
I didn't expect to get so close with you guys, with the crew. And I think that's a huge part of why it worked the way it did. Because I think all of us know that we stay guarded as trans people because people take advantage of us. And the media especially, they want to reduce you to one little thing. And this is you and this is what you are. And it's like, no, trans was just the thing that allowed us to do all those other things. That's not, that was just where we had to get to be here. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff that you see is who we are. And so I don't think we would have had those conversations if we didn't feel comfortable.
And I'm glad that relationship is there. Otherwise, this reunion show would be very awkward.
Oh my gosh.
Our sponsors at Wellbeing Trust are committed to advancing social, mental, and spiritual well-being. The goal of their foundation is to save lives from the depths of despair and increase equitable well-being for all. One cast member on the show who knows a thing or two about the well-being of others is our boss lady at the Trans Wellness Center, Mariana Marroquin. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Good, good. So when I first met you before we started taping, our whole crew was like, she's going to be so much fun.
Can you explain that to
me? Well, because you were so confident and so fun. And so, you know, you were the furthest along in your transition. So you seemed really just wanting to be this person of light. You know, it ended up being like, we covered some pretty intense stuff.
Definitely. I wasn't expecting going that deep.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it happened. I think that's something that people don't know about me.
Yes.
And I think it was really good to put it out there.
Very true. We go to Guatemala with you on the show. And that is one of my favorite stories in the series. And there's an incident there with an aunt of yours. And she misgenders you. And you were really hurt by it enough to want to, like, just remove yourself from the situation and lean on your chosen family.
You mentioned about me being, like, so far into my transition and to be myself. I think it doesn't matter how long you're being, you know, transition or being yourself. It's a long process. And depends on the day you can get those kind of, like, microaggressions.
Yes.
That it depends if you're not feeling well that day. It will get you really deep. So it's not every day. Yeah. But I think it can happen in so many ways.
And you were already so vulnerable going to Guatemala.
Yeah. And if I look back, I had a great time and people love to see me and like I enjoy the energy over there. But that was a minimum thing that in that moment made me feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I just let it go. I cannot hold on to the ugly things that keep happening to me or the challenging things that make me question or make me feel less. I need to look at the bright side.
Where we leave off in the episode is a pretty emotional place for you. You're sort of struggling with losing yourself in work and finding something deeper for yourself. And you, by the end of the show, you sort of you're at peace with certain things a little bit and you know that you'll eventually get there. How are you feeling about it now, listening back to that episode?
I am still struggling with that. I am here with all of you having a great time. But I'm still thinking about the work and I'm still thinking about what's coming tomorrow. I think I'm going to get to that place at some point.
Yeah.
But it's a process. And the show helped me to realize that I need to take care of myself as much as I take care of other people, because I'm really good taking care of other people. Like, yeah. I'm very proud of that. I don't like to feel like this is too much. It comes natural. It comes from a real place. And I just need to love myself the same way I love other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. What has it been like now after looking back at the podcast? Do you feel like you're in a better place now over it, or?
I think I'm in a better place because I can tell people when how I feel. I don't have to keep that kind of like, work is great, because work is great.
Yeah.
But I don't hide in for the people who really want to know how am I feeling or how am I doing, the truth. And I'm sharing that when there's challenging days, when I have some questions, when I'm like sad, I share that also. And it was like a reality check. It was like seeing myself in the mirror and going deeper. I always think like I have like a little bit like filter when I look in a certain way, and I love the way I see myself. But then when you pay attention and look at, deep in my eyes, you can see that there is more. And it can be something beautiful, but it's something like very pure and vulnerable.
Mariana, towards the end of this last episode, you do a photo shoot for a magazine cover on Fight Magazine. How did the photo shoot turn out? How did the cover turn out?
I get to do a lot of things that so many of the people I work for, they feel inspired. They don't have the chance to do. So every single thing that I do, including this show, is a reminder that so many of trans people are still struggling. So many trans people out there. We live in Los Angeles, and we don't have to go that far to find someone that is living on the streets, someone that is hungry. And that's something that I think when I get to do things like this, I really appreciate the chance, but I also like to create awareness.
Yeah, yeah. We have a question for you from our sponsors at Wellbeing Trust. Are there any issues in the day-to-day lives of trans people that you feel need attention or support?
I think there's so many bills around the country that are attacking specifically our community. And this creates a lot of fear in individuals and young people at home or families that are trying to understand their trans kids. So I believe that we need to get informed and get involved. Share what we know about like what will affect our community and the freedom to be yourself. I think that's something that we need to get involved. I think employment is still a big issue. Trans people don't get hired. Trans people don't get opportunities. And I think the next one will be health, mental health. I think there is not enough services out there or people trained to be able to give a good advice or a healthy and safe space to express what you're going through.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few, and of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Can't get enough of your favorite Lemonada Media podcasts? By subscribing to Lemonada Premium today, you'll gain access to fun and inspiring bonus content from all of our podcasts across the Lemonada Media Network. As a subscriber, you can listen to never-before-heard interview excerpts, behind-the-scenes segments, and continue to uncover new ways to make life suck less through all of our exclusive subscriber audio. Check out a free trial of Lemonada Premium today in the Apple Podcast app by clicking on our podcast logo and then the subscribe button.
We continue on with the Being Trans reunion special, where we're sitting down with our wonderful cast members to dive a little bit deeper about some of the stuff we covered on the show, or get them to open up about things they weren't ready to open up about. We come to our next cast member, Sai, who throughout the show, I listening back to all of it, you have some pretty big conversation on the series with regards to your transgender identity that no one else in the series has. I mean, I noticed a few things about those conversations. Did you notice something about yourself listening back to them?
I have no idea if there's a correct answer to this question or not. I feel like I'm being quizzed a bit.
Well, I mean, in the first episode, you open up about a conversation with your partner, Robert, that you know you need to have, but you avoid.
Oh, you're talking about that. Yes. that is something that I have been aware of prior to the show coming out. Of I am the world's biggest procrastinator. I hate having conversations, especially like an important conversation.
It wasn't just that. You also avoided another conversation. Do you know what I'm referring to?
No.
You avoided coming out to your dad?
Oh, that. Yeah, I knew we were talking about both of those things. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I don't know why. Like, I'm like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. My brain is fully empty right now.
You're taking so many things in stride. We're like, this is this huge moment. And you're like, yeah. And then I also did this.
Yeah. I think that all those conversations happen in their own time, you know? And so in that sense, definitely with the Robert stuff, I have felt like, no, like I avoided it, but like we had the conversation in the way we needed to have it. Mm-hmm. And like some of those conversations are ongoing in our relationship, and that's as it should be as well. It would also be very strange if we had had that conversation on the podcast and it's like, okay, so that was it. That part of our lives is completely completed now.
Yeah.
Cut scene, fade to black. Yeah.
Naturally, I'm going to ask,
yeah,
what's the update on that?
I mean, we don't have our update is like, happier than ever, still going strong. Life is still super great. I listen to every podcast that Robert is in, and you know, I'm like, oh, that's my person.
Yeah,
it's like when if everyone's had this experience, or if a lot of people have, but like when you see your partner like down the street, mm-hmm. and they don't know that you see them yet, like in that moment of like, oh, hey, my person.
Yeah,
you're just off there living your life, like half a block ahead of me.
I'm curious. You obviously have had to come out to quite a few people. Was it harder for you to come out to your dad, or was it harder to come out to Robert?
That's an interesting question, because Robert is pretty much the first person I came out to. Coming out to my dad was a lot easier because I had a lot more practice at that time. But I think both conversations were like exactly the conversation they needed to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, obviously we were following all of your lives up until we had to stop taping. Something that we didn't fully explore that people don't know is that you and Robert were talking about doing a vow renewal.
We were talking about doing a vow renewal, and then what we did instead was buy a condo, but we would still like to do it. I don't know whether we'll peg it to an anniversary or a special moment or something, or whether like we'll just, like find a fun time. We do want to have a big party.
Why did you want to do a vow renewal?
I mean, there are two parts of that. The first is that I got married before I came out and before I got to show up as myself. And in a lot of ways, being engaged, planning a wedding, and getting married were some of the first times that I started to realize that feelings I'd always had or things I'd always known about myself like mattered and needed to be shared with the world and affected how I needed to present myself to the world. So part of wanting to have a vow renewal is it would be really cool to have a do-over and actually get to show up as myself, mm-hmm. and actually get to show up as myself with the person who, like, I wanted to have been showing up as myself for, there's a lot of prepositions, you know, the whole time, right? The other thing is, I do feel like it has been a time, not only of transition for me, but a time of transition for my family and for my relationship, and getting to share that with the other people in our lives, mm-hmm. would be really cool.
Well, I am looking forward to when you do your vow renewal.
I'll be invited.
Thank you.
Yay. Yeah.
We have a question for you from our sponsors at Wellbeing Trust. How does a program like Being Trans help other people who identify as transgender?
I think that's a great question because, you know, as the show has come out, especially and during the whole process of creating the show, I asked myself a lot about whether this show is for cisgender people who don't have a lot of knowledge about trans people, or whether this is a show for trans people. And I came up with a lot of different answers over the course of this whole time, and it is something I still think a lot about. But I think the show is helpful to trans people in part because, like, when you hear someone else's story and you realize, like, and it resonates with you, and, like, you do feel a bit less alone, and you do feel a bit less like, oh, everything that's happening to me is unique only to me. No one's ever felt this way before. And I can't share this with anyone else because no one could possibly understand it. You know, prior to doing the show, I was very reluctant to do any kind of support group or group therapy, but the process of doing the show, and then again in the process of listening to this show, have learned so much from the other folks participating and have felt so much less alone, despite things that we never talked about one-on-one together ever. You're listening to the show and you're like, oh, Chloe felt that way. Like, I've, you know, I thought I was the only one who felt that way. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your stories. I know that wasn't easy. And I know you and I have had conversations about how that's like an uphill battle for you sometimes to be vulnerable on tape. And if there's one cast member on our series who has also talked about struggling to be emotional and feel things, it's our Rochester transplant.
Oh, you mean me?
Yes.
Oh. Does that mean I have to talk about emotions?
Yes. I have to say of each of you, now, there was a lot of trust there, and no one here had that moment where you ripped off your mic, that classic reality moment of being like, I'm done here. Yeah. But if anyone came pretty close, I would say it was you. There were some tough stories there for you, and I think they still are something you're working through right now. The fertility story, mm-hmm. the story of you having kids, and that was really hard for you to get through.
That one was really difficult for me because I thought it was the one thing that I had settled. And then to find out, like, oh, there's a maybe and it'll be hell, but it's still a possibility. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that opens everything back up again. And it's also a little bit of time travel because you go back to that place where you had to make those decisions, or those decisions were made for you. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of brought me on that whole stream of consciousness again. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. You can't unknow things.
Yeah.
And now that I know, it was difficult to make that decision, but I am glad that I came to a point where I said, okay, this decision is made.
Yeah. It seems by the end of that episode that you had come to terms with what you've decided, but you did kind of go back in time again, having to listen to it. How was it hearing yourself go through those emotions and feeling it again?
I was okay until I heard Sai say how cool it would be to have a little Chloe running around. Mm. And then I was like, oh man, that would be so cool. And now I'm like, I don't know, but I am still, the other surrounding factors are the same. And that was the safest and right decision for me at the time. And I feel like if you're going to have kids, you know, generally you just got to go for it. And if I'm not in a position where I'm like, yes, let's go for it, then that's probably not the right decision for me right now.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we started taping, we all looked around in the room going, oh, she's so guarded.
Mm. Oh yeah. I have been, you know, most of my life, and I think part of that is an outcrop of being trans, in that I call it being loud enough to be quiet. Mm-hmm. I would make enough noise where people would think that I was okay, that mm-hmm. everything was all right, do just enough, get the right grades, mm-hmm. be social, whatever the case may be, but never let anybody ask those tough questions. Mm-hmm. Like, it is hard. But I, you know, for me, it was so self-protective. It was so necessary. Mm-hmm. And I had never been in a position to break out of that before.
Yeah. Yeah. How, what's your relationship with feeling emotions like now? How much does it scare you still, I suppose?
You know, I'm still waiting for those big emotions that'll scare me. I feel like I'm in the foothills of emotion. And eventually some things, like if I ever find a relationship, there will be emotions there. And if that relationship doesn't end up being what I want it to be at the right time, I will have to deal with that as well. I don't do well with loss. And that's an inevitable part of life. That's going to happen. So I think, honestly, like, it sounds weird, but going back to being an athlete, getting to practice those, dealing with those emotions on a smaller level is going to help me in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you as an athlete in particular, I'm sure part of that, one, it's you having to protect yourself because of the trans experience and how you walk through life, but you're also an athlete, and it's sort of drilled into you, the stoicism.
Yeah. I mean, those walls are there for a reason. You're not, you know, if you break your ankle, the coach tells you to rub some dirt on it because that'll make it better and you should keep playing. And that doesn't just mean physical health. That goes to mental and emotional health as well. Mm-hmm. So I always learned, that's it. You don't say anything. There are certain things you don't talk about. And when you're presenting as a cis man, that's most things, mm-hmm. So I was unpracticed.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Every Wednesday, tune into The Deep Dive for a hilarious and heartfelt journey with hosts June Diane Raphael and Jessica St. Clair. From navigating the chaos of motherhood and family to exploring the depths of grief and loss, June and Jessica are two best friends who process life together. Discover their secrets to finding joy amidst the madness. Get ready for unfiltered conversations about life, love, and everything in between. June and Jessica believe in the power of connection and the strength that comes from supporting one another. You can listen to The Deep Dive on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
Nice.
You do need an air horn.
Ding, ding, ding. That music.
Welcome back to the Being Trans Reunion special. I'm here with Sai, Mariana, Jeff, and Chloe, and we're diving a little bit deeper on this past series. And we want to take this opportunity to open the floor up to everyone else and pose a question to the group. What did everyone think of listening to it? Your loved ones, your friends, your family? Has it been all positive, some criticism, anything like that? Chloe?
Hello. The people who have reached out to me, a lot of people have said, I relate to that. And these are, a lot of them are cis people.
Did any of your former teammates reach out to you after listening to the podcast?
I have talked to some of my former teammates. They echoed the be an athlete line. So that seems to have stuck with people. They're like, you know, and it's former teammates. They're like, you know, you never really were an athlete.
Oh, yes.
More on the like, yes, you played, but how athletic were you? And I'm like, fair, because I've said the same things to them. So, some of my friends most of my friends have nicknames from those years. And, just talking to them and they're like, it was kind of cool to see you play again. You know, it was kind of cool that you got back out there. It was kind of cool that you got to do that as yourself. And, mm-hmm. you know, as much as we rag on each other, they're, you know, the guys that I'm still in touch with are really supportive.
I'm glad. That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And with sports, when they're ragging on you, that is the ultimate acceptance.
Right.
Sai, what does your family think of the series?
Robert, I think that we're both listening to them separately, but within a day or so of each other. And we've definitely continued to have a lot of those conversations about like gender stuff and sexual orientation stuff. And like I think we've become, through the process of doing the show, better at talking about that.
Mariana, what about you? What did you think of the series after like listening back to it?
I regret giving my age away.
Did any friends reach out after listening or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely about that. Yeah,
about your age?
Yeah. They're really enjoying what is out there. And as I mentioned before, I get more people getting closer to me. Close friends are getting closer to me and they give me real hugs and hold on to me to be like, okay, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah.
That's wonderful, nice. Right? What about you, Jeff? What did your parents think of the show? What did Emma think of the show?
Emma, she loved it. She, we listened to it together.
I love that. What's your parents think?
My parents love it, but my parents love all the things. They're so supportive and wonderful. And honestly, just don't bring me up at all. They just bring up Chloe and Mariana, and my mother cannot wait to go shopping with you. It's just, I mean, I cannot stress how much she talks about how she wants to go shopping with you. For those of you who don't know, or I don't know if you ever went to Mariana's house. She has a wall of, her entirety of her room is made up entirely of shoes. And it's the most impressive thing ever. And my mother will not stop talking about it.
Mariana is nodding and smiling as though someone were talking about her children.
Yeah, I was ashamed for that for a long time. And I realized that I'm like, it's something that makes me happy. It's something for me. I mean, I try to make my kitchen a place that where people can cook, but that's not me. I'm not going to cook. So now I have, like, I have shoes everywhere and clothes because that's me. I express myself through clothes. I can't believe we're talking about this.
I love it. I love that you are so unapologetically yourselves. I mean, you all fought so hard to live your lives as who you are. If you want a rack of clothes where your dishes should be, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Open the oven and there might be boots inside.
More shoes. Also, was that okay? I was being very like, I love your shoes. I just wanted to make sure you didn't think that I was saying anything.
No.
Okay. Because I think it's the coolest fucking thing ever. And I just... But if you didn't want
also,
it said...
No, thank you. We had a great conversation.
Okay.
Like my football conversation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You do get to like have things that are just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That are only yours.
There's some stuff.
Yeah.
There.
I'm curious why both of you felt the need to say that to Mariana.
Because you said while you were talking about it, you said like, I forget what exactly you said, but something about like feeling like it isn't part of like the work you do for the community, or that it feels shallow, or it feels like it's only like selfish or something. It's like, yeah, like you get to only have something that's just for yourself that you don't share with anyone else. And that isn't about a brand or a mission or an advocacy or.
That is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, it's like I'm a service provider and I put myself over there. And when I go to work, I put my hair up and I try not to be so flashy because I'm telling you, I work with clients that sometimes walk to the office without shoes.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to make them feel in a certain way. So that's why when you're asking me right now, it just came out like, really, this is me. This is my sport. This is my, my colorful little thing or big thing is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's not a little thing. It's a big thing.
I just don't know how you don't show it off, because if I had that I would show everybody. But to you, it was like pure joy, because it's like, this is Mariana's, you created the whole space to be so you.
I think you touched on something really important though, too, because there is a lot of guilt that gets put on trans people for having things or for... The difficulty is, as you were alluding to earlier, is that there are so many people who struggle to get basic necessities such as a job, food, clothing, healthcare, etc., that when you are in a position where you get a little bit of security, there's almost like a survivor's guilt that goes along with it. And like you're looking around, and I look at, you know, cis people a lot of times, and I don't know that they have that guilt. And here we are like, I got a job, and you know, and we downplay a lot of our accomplishments. And I wonder, and I'm thinking out loud, is this something that hurts our community? Because we should be telling people how amazing we are and what great things we do in our jobs and in our lives and all those things, because we do. Trans people are awesome, but we don't say that all the time.
Your four lives are just a snapshot of your individual experience. It does not represent every trans person's lives. And on the subject of trans guilt, that whole issue that you struggle with, I'm curious how each of you navigated getting this platform. And if you had moments where you felt you didn't deserve to have this platform.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's really hard. I'll speak only to myself. As much as I've been suicidal and sexually assaulted and all of the things that have gone on in my life, that have happened over the years, I am a trans person with a hell of a lot of privilege. I'm white. My parents love me. I have, um, I I make rent every month. I'm employable. I was educated. So many things that I have, other trans people don't have. And even the reason and the way that I can speak to things all happened because of privilege. Mm-hmm. And so it is hard to... I think it's hard to say that you deserve it. And it's when a good thing happens, I think it's almost impossible for me to think that that it's okay for me to have it.
I struggle with that as well. One thing I have tried to keep in mind, it does give us a space to shine a light on things we think are important. It does, you know, in thinking about some of the issues of privilege and some of the issues of like, oh, there are people who've struggled more than me. There are people who have it worse than me. It's like, I also have, you know, because I have privilege, I also have the ability to do something like this show. I can do the emotional labor for other people to learn what's up with us mm-hmm. in a way that somebody who does not have the resources that I have shouldn't be expected to do. Mm-hmm. And as much as I have had a great time on our podcast and I think it's amazing and cool and fun, a lot of it is emotional labor. And mm-hmm. it's emotional labor that we were compensated for. It's emotional labor that we were told that's what the show is. And if that's something I can do because some other parts of my life are easier, it's, you know, something that is worth doing.
Yeah, it's not easy. I certainly couldn't do it. And so hats off to all of you. It's challenging. You know, you're having to be very open in a different kind of way that I don't think everyone can really understand unless you're in that position. I would like to ask each of you, are there storylines or episodes in these shows that weren't your own that really spoke to you in a significant way or that you were curious about or affected you or moved you?
Your conversation with your nephew? Fernando. Was so beautiful.
So. Thank you for saying that. I think I got more from him to me than I was what I was offering. I think that conversation and that right moment was really affirmative for me and being like, we all play a role in each other's lives.
Chloe, what about you? Was there any story in the episode that really spoke to you?
There were many, and the one where Jeff is trying to figure out top surgery and things along those lines, because I'm having so many questions around like medical procedures for myself. But the one that hit me that I didn't think would hit me so hard was Cy and Jeff and the swimming pool. That one got me because I mean, I think you pick up on this at some point in the show, the water means the world to me. The ocean is where I feel the best. The ocean is where I feel at home. I grew up on Lake Ontario, you know, being in my city, and I feel you about not being able to go swimming or not feeling comfortable and not being able to get in the water and not wanting to subject yourself to ignorance and curiosity of others to do something that you love. And I definitely extrapolated that. The saliency of that moment stuck with me. And then I was like, how many other things am I keeping myself from doing because of these same reasons? So that one really stuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any other stories that you all listened to that really resonated with you from each other?
I love your conversations with your partners. Mm. I think that was so beautiful. And I think that's going to bring a lot of, you know, I have a lot of gratitude in my heart and a lot of hope that things can get better. That's the second thing, I have hope. And I feel like we can hope to find that significant other that support us in all the process and the good and the bad. And I think it's beautiful to listen to that. And yeah, it's good to be loved and to love back. It was really, really nice. It was warm, it was beautiful, and it's possible for us to find someone.
One thing that I, listening to that particular episode, was amazed by is I am not athletic. And it is always like when people talk about being comfortable in their body or like sort of like often I have felt, and I'm sure this is related to the way that I am trans, like, oh, I'm just a brain. This is just a meat sack that exists for my brain to move around the world. And when both of you talked about how specifically you feel comfortable in your body is doing athletic stuff and that helps you escape from some of that like dysphoric feelings or dysphoric like, you know, situations, I was one, it's, and this I think goes a bit back to like, oh right, like I'm not alone, like we all have our own ways of doing this, but I was amazed because it's so different from how I felt. For me, throwing a football, I'm just like, yep, I'm going to screw this up. How am I going to, you know, like, make this go wrong? And so to hear from both of you that you're like, oh, no, I have a way of being in my body and being trans and enjoying moving around physically, throwing balls around, whatever, you know, has just endlessly impressed me. And I'm curious, like, how the two of you find space for that and find ways to stay in touch with that.
Not easily, to be honest. I mean, it was something that, you know, I had a million excuses to not do, like, oh, I'm going to get surgery soon. You know, I don't want to have anything happen to my face and all these other things that were potential. Like, I could cling to that and say, no, that I'm not going to do this. But I just missed it. You know, I missed not having to think about anything other than what was coming at me in the game. And I need that. I mean, that's my escapism. I don't know if anybody else has this, but my brain is not chill. Like, it does not calm down. And when I'm playing, like, everything just kind of snaps. And it's like, okay, everything fits into its place. Mm-hmm. And when we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I think that's part of why I like music so much, too. Like, I get lost in the music and lyrics. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone, for sitting down and, you know, exploring this series together and with me. Question for each of you. This obviously represents a chapter of your life. If you had to summarize what the next season of your life would be, the stories that we have yet to explore that you know are right around the corner, what would it be? Jeff?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to get married. And top surgery. So those two things I need to start making a priority. And I will.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Chloe?
I feel like I've put down some building blocks for myself. And now is the time where I have a little bit steadier base. Now I can really throw myself into things and start growing into the person I know I am and I know I can be.
Beautiful. Sorry.
I mean, do y'all want to do a podcast about me refinishing my kitchen cabinet?
Yes. Absolutely.
My kitchen that right absolutely. Now. Oh, no, I really want the next season of my life, so to speak, to be stability, building on the things that the show has somewhat talked about. Yeah, I bought my house. I just want to live in my house that I bought. Egon starts kindergarten in the fall. I just want, like, to just live in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mariana, we've talked about this a little bit too, but what would the next season of your story be like?
Healing. I think it'll be about healing, about how that looked like. And yeah, a lot of people talk about self-care, but it's just a talk. And I think healing looks different for everyone. And being less, you know, afraid of showing happiness and something that is just for me. I mean, yeah, I think that will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
It's funny because I could say another thing, but this is exactly what's coming from my heart.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, you know, fun trips and all the stuff or dating, all that. I don't that. So it's time to look inside.
I love that that's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
And thank you for saying that. Well, good luck to each of you on these next chapters of your life. And thank you again very much for sharing this chapter of your life with us. I have definitely been a fan of following each of your journeys, as I'm sure most of our listeners are too, and really excited to see where life takes you next. Thanks for sitting in with us.
Thank you.
Silly.
Thank you.
If you'd like to see the video recording of this reunion special, please check it out at Lemonada Media's YouTube channel. Being Trans is an audio reality original from Lemonada Media's Being Studios and is brought to you with generous support from Marguerite Casey Foundation and Wellbeing Trust. Executive producers are Jessica Cordova Kramer, Stephanie Whittles-Wax, and Casey Barrett. Co-executive producer and host of today's show is me, Sele Leota. This episode was produced by Chrissy Pease. Our music is by Signature Tracks. Being Trans is proud to partner with Amazon Music as part of their Pride campaign this month. You can listen to Being Trans on Amazon Music by searching for Being Trans in the app or by asking your Alexa. Simply say, "Alexa, play Being Trans," to instantly hear the series. You can also find us online at Lemonada Media and connect with us across all social platforms. Subscribe to Lemonada Premium on Apple Podcasts to hear bonus content, deleted scenes, and more from our cast. If you like what you heard today, please tell your family and friends to listen and subscribe, rate and review us on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, thanks for listening and thanks for being.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere? And suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time. Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Elise Myers. I'm a content creator and comedian. You might know me from TikTok. Why am I in your ears right now? Well, that's a great question. I would love to tell you. I have a new podcast called Funny Because It's True. On my show, I'll be interviewing comedians, pop culture icons, and also just people I find really funny. We'll be talking about the awkward moments that keep you awake at night. Because if you don't laugh, you cry, right? Okay, Funny Because It's True. Out now wherever you get your podcasts.